Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place,
here it comes.
If you're all alone,
all right. 4:06. You know what that means? 1 hour left on a football Friday. My weekend is 54 minutes away. Let's go. All right, so this is where we do the take a chance parlay. If you're unaware, where the hell have you been? This is where we just take three dogs, parlay them together. I think I've hit it twice. Fleegs has hit it once.
We were so close last week.
Yeah.
Both went 2 of 3.
Yeah.
One of my third dog covered but could have went outright because Sam Darnold had to throw a million interceptions.
I know. Unbelievable. Sam Darnold, man. The guy is unbelievable, and then in these big games, he just folds. I mean, they did to still be in a position to win with four interceptions was crazy against the very good team. All right, so where are we going this week?
The first two games I had in the regular picks, Colts, Steelers, so you got the explanation there a couple minutes ago. And game number three, I'm so tempted to go with the Cardinals because the Jaguars are one of those teams that should never be a road favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go with a guy I believe in. I'm going with the storyline. Give me the Browns plus the 3.5 in Vegas against the Raiders. I'm a Shador fan. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for him. I think it's a little silly to judge him entirely on last week, and he was horrible. But to come in that spot unprepared, we've all heard the stuff about him not practicing with the ones, and to come in and face that Ravens team that the defense is getting healthier. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a good team, good coach. That's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback. This Raiders team is god-awful. It doesn't matter that they're home. Geno Smith is terrible. He's having an awful year. We saw what the Cowboys just did to them on Monday night. And I don't think the Browns offense is going to do all that much. But the Browns have a really good, sometimes great defense. And they're going up against a quarterback who, again, is terrible. So can the Browns defense shut down the Raiders and maybe turn Geno over a couple times to the point where the Browns can escape with a 16-9 or 17-13 win here? I think they can, and I'm going to be rooting for this kid to go in and just shut some people up. He hasn't been perfect, obviously, but the hatred is way over the top. So go Shador, give me the Browns as team number three.
Okay. I am going to take the Cards because I agree with you. I just don't think, despite what happened last week, I just don't think Jacksonville is a good enough team, a consistent enough team to trust as a favorite on the road. Brissett completed the most passes in NFL history. I don't think it matters to him that Marvin Harrison is in there. I think they're going to throw the football, and I think they have a chance against this Jaguars team that typically does not put back-to-back good performances together, so give me the Cards. You gave all the reasons for Pittsburgh. The Bears, without question, like, have been probably the luckiest team in the NFL this year with all their victories. There's no doubt about it. Last week you saw what happened at the end of the game. The Giants, if Jackson Dart doesn't get hurt, they're going to lose that football game. And plus, if he plays, Aaron Rodgers, thank you. if Aaron Rodgers plays in this game. It's not something, I don't know how debilitating a broken left wrist is or a hairline fracture in a left wrist is. So I would expect them to be able to do that. They know they're competing for this division. He's owned the Bears. I mean, if there's anyone who's ever owned another opponent, it's Rodgers against the Bears. So give me the Rodgers. And then give me the Steelers, rather. And then I'm going to take a chance and have a little fun because I love the dude. And if he does come back, I've been looking to fade the Patriots at a bunch of different times this year. It's good money, too, at plus 210 as 5.5-point underdogs. Give me the Bengals at home in the idea of Burrow coming back and somehow being Joe Burrow and putting up points and finding a way to beat the Patriots, who are on this unbelievable run, 8 wins in a row. Like, 8 wins in a row in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. That is very difficult to do. 9, quick math, is even more difficult than 8. Eventually, they're going to get tripped up somewhere. And if Joe Burrow plays, what the hell? It's take a chance, right? I'll take a chance. Cincinnati to take down the Patriots. Cincinnati, the Cardinals, and Pittsburgh for your take a chance parlay. 888-808-1019. A lot of football on this Football Friday. I've talked about Jackson Dart and how I want him to play. And I even gave you the comp. Drake May last year, week 8 against the New York Jets. Exited the game with a concussion. Did they put him in bubble wrap? Did they put their young quarterback in bubble wrap? Did they say, well, that's it. You had a concussion. You can't play. Their season was dead. Their team was dead. There was no winning there. They knew they were going to, we didn't know at the time, but you know damn well that Vrabel was going to be the next coach of the New England Patriots at that point. So you knew a new coach was coming. Season was dead. A young promising rookie gets a concussion. And they throw him right back out there the next week. He rushes for 8. He rushes 8 times for 95 yards, both the most of his entire season last year. The next week after concussion, most rushing attempts. Now, I know most of them are scrambles and not necessarily design runs, but 8 rushing attempts, 95 yards, both the most he had all season long the week after a concussion. And those games are important. He played the rest of the season. He only took one snap in the Buffalo game, the last game of the year. But he played the rest of that year, week 9 through week 17. And we're seeing the benefits of that. There are benefits to Jackson Dart playing. The minute he's healthy, now he hasn't been cleared, and by no means am I saying anything other than if he's not ready and, you know, the rules of the NFL, he's got to be ready to play, of course. But, like, these games matter. And it's important for the New York Giants and Jackson Dart to play leading into next year. Because I know right now it feels like a dumpster fire, and I just picked them to lose by more than 10, by 11 points or more against the Lions. And I understand, you know, the injuries to Scadaboo and Neighbors and everything else, WWE pushes and you know, third overall picks, missing practice, and everything that's swirling this team, interim head coach. Right now it feels like a disaster. Next year they could have a veteran head coach with a track record of winning as the head coach. They could be with a healthy Neighbors and a healthy Scadaboo, a better defensive coordinator, and real hope. Real hope of being a playoff team. Just like the New England Patriots, who right now are 9-2. We saw Buffalo lose last night. The Chiefs are 5-5. The Ravens got off to a miserable start. We expect them to win that division, but got off to a miserable start. The AFC is a completely different landscape than we would have guessed heading into the season. That could be the NFC next year. That could be the New York Giants next year. I know it seems implausible. I know it seems crazy. I know it seems like this team, both our teams, are destined for failure for forever. That's what it feels like right now. It doesn't have to be. And these games are important. Jackson Dart needs to play. And look no further than Drake May for an example of why he needs to play and why teams are going to put their players back out there if he's cleared from concussion protocol. And I can't take how many calls I take on the idea that he needs to sit and he shouldn't play and, you know, wait till after the bye and let him play the last 2 weeks of the season. No. Every game is important for a rookie quarterback. He has proved nothing. He has proved nothing other than he's had a good little 5-6 week run. He needs to go and play against teams like the Lions on the road. He needs to go play the Patriots next week on the road. He needs to see different defenses, experience different things, be put in different situations. find out how to be an NFL head quarterback, an NFL franchise quarterback. This is the time you find that out, and you hope it bleeds into next year, and next year they're ready to take off. And not just Drake May, but Eli Manning, if you want to stick to just the Giants, losing all those games down the stretch, playing, again, he didn't have the concussion, and he was an Iron Man and never missed a game, but those games are meaningful. Those games are important. He needs every one of them. 888-808-1019. We didn't even really talk too much about some of the Cashman stuff. I mean, Cashman every year does this event where he sleeps out on the street. He also climbs down buildings dressed as elves for the Christmas season. We applaud him for that. At least I do. I'm sure you guys all think it's dumb and stupid and hate his guts. You know, doing things for charity, that son of a gun. But he was, he met with the media and said I didn't take too much from it. He talked about how he believes that Trent Grisham has a better chance of duplicating last season than we do. And I think that's really the main thing about the Trent Grisham thing. It's just, if you knew you were going to get the same player, like you knew he was going to hit 30 home runs, yeah, you're looking to change the team a little bit. And sure, you'd like a guy with a little bit more contact, and he was the leadoff hitter, and you're looking for a better kind of leadoff hitter, although his on-base percentage is pretty good. Like, yeah, I would like to tweak it. I would like to do different things. This, and that's part of it, too. This makes it difficult to kind of change the team in a meaningful way or do different things. It makes it not impossible, but difficult, giving him $22 million. But having said that, if he hits 30 home runs and has the same year last year with a 3.5 war, plays a good, solid center field, hits 34 home runs, and is clutch and hits big game-tying, game-winning 8-9-inning home runs, then I think we could all just say, okay, that's worth $22 million. He had a better year than Kyle Tucker's going to get $400 million. Last year, Trent Grisham was better than Kyle Tucker. Now, I don't expect that moving forward, and that's the problem. And you're paying $22 million to a player you don't expect that from, but the Yankees do. And we'll see who's right. I'm very concerned he's not going to be. The Yankees seem to think he is, but a lot of this Yankee offseason is contingent on how much money this owner is going to spend. We didn't do too much. We've been a lot on the Football Friday here. We can get to the Mets, but we got plenty of time for that. Winter meetings are a couple weeks away. Next week's Thanksgiving. After that, you have the winter meetings at the start of December, so the hot stove baseball season will really start to unfold. But this is a big Sunday still, amazingly enough, these two lousy teams. You're going to see Tyrod Taylor start for the Jets. I think that's important. You want to kind of get a read on what these young wide receivers can be and what an NFL offense can look like for this team. You're trying to evaluate players. And for the New York Giants, clearly, any game that Jackson Dart plays, and again, he has not been cleared just yet. It's trending in that direction. Any game that Jackson Dart plays is a meaningful game for this New York Giant team. And going up against one of the best teams in the NFC, one of the best teams in the NFL, albeit having a little bit of an up-and-down season. This is an important game. It's an important game. And I'm crazy enough to tell you, as we've been talking about all the different coaching candidates, to me, Mike Kafka is still one of them. I am not totally, abandoning the idea that if Mike Kafka, with everything that's going on, with all the idiots like me screaming about Scataboo and Carter going to WWE and risking health and missing meetings, like all the leaks, all the stories, all the nonsense around this team, the lousy defensive coordinator, the lousy defense, the injuries, the no weapons, Jackson Dart not practicing fully all week. Like, if he's able to overcome all that and give you another performance, hell, I'll take the same kind of performance they gave against Green Bay on the road against the Lions. If they find themselves, in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, I think that's a pretty damn good job from this coach. So I'm still open. When the best name out there is Mike McCarthy, and I'm not saying Kafka's a better head coach than Mike McCarthy, I'm just saying Kafka has continued to be finalist in jobs without being a successful offensive coordinator, really. I mean, the offenses he's coordinated over the last couple of years, one, he hasn't even been calling the plays the entire time, and two, there hasn't been much offense to speak of, and yet he is a finalist for a lot of these jobs. He continues to get interviews. The NFL is telling you Mike Kafka is a well-thought-of coach inside the inner circles of the NFL. He has an opportunity against a very good team on the road as a 10.5-point underdog to show something here. And it's going to be the first game, hopefully, again, that he has Jackson Dart back in the fold. I think these are telling games, important games down the stretch with a rookie quarterback, because you're trying to be next year's New England Patriots.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 426. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. I think we just lost the live stream feed right now. I don't know why. Been cutting out. People think it's me. It's not me. Why would I cut it out with the last 40 minutes? If I wanted to get rid of you people, I would have done it already. 888-808-1019. And to be fair, someone called me out on something. And sometimes, if I say something that I think in the moment is correct and someone calls me out on it, I'm not opposed to looking at it. And to be fair, I said he had a better year than Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker had a disappointing second half. But if you look at it, most of the underlying numbers, Kyle Tucker did have a better year than Trent Grisham. He had a higher OPS. He had a higher OPS plus. He had a lot less home runs, obviously, 22 to 34. So Trent Grisham hit a lot more home runs. And again, Trent Grisham was also leading off for the Yankees a lot. So the RBIs, Trent Grisham had one more RBI than Tucker. Now, again, hitting leadoff, I do think that's significant to have more RBIs than Tucker, who was probably hitting in the middle of the order most of the time. But to be fair, that's probably a bit of a stretch to say he had a better year than Kyle Tucker. I think he had a better year than maybe Bellinger overall, but Bellinger's so good defensively and hit for a higher average. I don't know, but it was a very good year. 34 and 75 for Grish. With a 811 OPS and a 125 OPS plus, that is a excellent, excellent year. And a 3.5 WAR. There's only two other center fielders in the game that are projected to have a WAR higher than Trent Grisham. So, like, my point being, if Trent Grisham has a duplicate season, if Trent Grisham has another year with an above 800 OPS, a 120 plus OPS plus, hits 30 home runs or somewhere around there, 28 to 35 home runs, and is as clutch as he was and plays center field the same way and has a 3.5 WAR, he's worth $22 million. That player, Trent Grisham's numbers last year, are worth $22 million. On a one-year deal, you could make a strong argument that that is a good contract. A one-year $22 million deal for Trent Grisham last year is a good contract. The problem is, one, as we're really discussing here, I don't have faith that he's going to have that same kind of year. That has traditionally not been the kind of player he's been over the course of his career. He's really only had one year where those numbers are even close. He's only had one other year that had an OPS over 800, and that was the shortened COVID year of 2020, where he only played 59 games. So in those 59 games, he had an OPS of 808 and an OPS plus of 123. He had pretty much the same year for 60 games back in 2020. And then 2021 had a 3.1 WAR, had a 740 OPS, and a 1.06 a 106 OPS plus. So there's only been two other years of his career where he's even been considered an average or slightly above average Major League Baseball player. After that, you know, 22, 23, 24 are not good years. He hit under 200 in each of those three seasons, had an OPS under 7 in each of those three seasons. I mean, again, it's probably somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's as bad as that, and I don't think he's as good as last year. But even more than that, and unfortunately, this is the problem that, you know, Yankee fans feel they shouldn't have to deal with. And I don't disagree with them, but they do. The payroll is an issue. And to just bring back the same team, and right now they're focused on Bellinger, right? If they bring back Bellinger, that's going to put them at the number that they were last year. And you're running back the same team. Now, it's the same team that had the best offense in the American League, or at least scored the most runs. Right? It's the same team that won 94 games and could have won a division, you know, 10 different games if you know, Devin Williams didn't blow 3-4 run leads. I get it. And now they're adding Gerrit Cole and a full season of Schlittler. Like, they should be, even if you run back the same offense, you could make an argument that they still will be a better team and a team that can win the whole damn thing. I'm on board with that. That is not a crazy statement. Rerun it with Cole and Schlittler for a whole year. Add maybe, you probably need at least one more arm to the bullpen or so, but like, could that team win the whole damn thing? Yeah. Without a full season of Schlittler and without Cole, they won 94 games, the most in the American League. So, yeah, but you want to tweak it, and they do have a gaping hole at shortstop, in my mind. I know the Yankees don't feel that way, but I do. They have a gaping hole at shortstop. That bottom of the order is not good enough unless Austin Wells has a huge bounce-back season. You know that you have a defensive first, third baseman who doesn't hit all that much. And again, your shortstop, shoulder injury or not, is a career 650 OPS player. And we didn't really even get to Seager, which is an interesting topic for me. There's reports that Kyle Seager is possibly on the move out of Texas, who's looking to cut payroll. And I think it's a very interesting proposition for the New York Yankees. I do. Is a part of me like, well, you could have signed him 3 years ago, whatever it was, 3-4 years ago, and had him for the best years, and now you'll be paying a high price for his latter years? He's still an excellent player. And I've been looking for an option to play shortstop for one season and then transition to third. And I think Seager would fit that beautifully. The problem is he's injury prone and it's a ton of money, but he's a great player when he plays. You're taking on a lot of payroll. I wonder if you could throw back I don't know if they've had any interest in it, but could you throw a McMahon in the deal where it's $16 million for the next 2 years and you kind of offset the money for these next 2 years and then just play him at third? If you upgrade that significantly at third base, then I'm feeling better about Volpe playing shortstop. I think it's something to consider. I think it's unlikely. I doubt very much they take on the payroll. I don't love getting the worst end of a long-term contract for a player who typically does not stay healthy. But, again, here's the other thought with the New York Yankees. Say you make the trade for Seager. Say you do it. Say you bring him in. You intend to play him at shortstop. You intend to play him at third, whatever. And he's injured. Does that prohibit the Yankees from making the playoffs? Will that stop the Yankees from making the playoffs? Will the Yankees find a way to get another third baseman at the trade deadline? You know, can Amad Rosario, could they figure out a way with Judge and this team and the rest of the offense and Bellinger and all the other ways, could they find their way into the postseason? Probably. And if you can get a healthy Seager come the postseason time, is it worth it? Like, and that's the risk. You know he's going to miss games. He's most likely going to miss games. The same thing as Giancarlo Stanton. You know he's going to miss games. But if he's there in September and October, like, that's all that matters for the New York Yankees anymore, right? We know that. In the new playoff format, if you lose Judge, if you're hitting, you know, Bowers and Willie Calhoun, third and fourth, yeah, there's a chance. That team was particularly atrocious in 2023. Like, maybe you missed the playoffs. But this is about, let's be honest, right? It's about winning a championship. And for the most part, with this starting rotation, Judge in the lineup, Bellinger, Grisham, you know, Ben Rice, like, I think that's probably a playoff team no matter what happens with Corey Seager or how many games he misses. And then the question is, but can he be healthy come postseason time? And will you have a multiple World Series MVP in the middle of your lineup come October? And is the risk worth it for that? Because if he's not there, then it's a disaster. But if he plays 70 games but is ready for you in October, I don't care how much I'm paying him, I'm getting a proven World Series postseason player and dominant bat left-handed to go with Judge. I think it's an interesting proposition. It's probably one that will never happen. But if I were the Yankees, I'd absolutely investigate it and see if maybe there's a way they could unload some, you know, a bad contract, do something. Maybe you could send McMahon over and you know, offset at least $16 million for 2 years of the contract, something to keep the payroll lesser this year. But he's a great player. And you're looking for impact bats in the postseason because they're going to make the postseason. It's part of the reason that you all hate him. As someone said, I think there's a podcast called Yankee Files, and he said it beautifully. Like, it's not necessarily that you hate the Yankees because they, you know, stink. You don't hate the Yankees because they're terrible and Cashman sucks and Boone sucks. Like, you might say that. You don't hate the Yankees because they're awful. You hate the Yankees because they're good. And losing in the playoffs as often as they do while being good is hard to figure out. That's why Yankee fans hate the Yankees. Because they're good. Year in and year out, they're really good. And then they get into the postseason and they can't win. And to have 15 years of being good, but not good enough, that's why you hate them. It's not that they suck. It's not that they're idiots. It's not that they have no idea what they're doing. It's not that they don't know how to build a roster. It's not that Brian Cashman is outdated and doesn't understand new age baseball and all the nonsense that you might say and mean. In the moment, you might mean it. But the reason the Yankee fans have grown so toxic and the reason the Yankee fans are so frustrated is that year in and year out, the Yankees are good. They're one of, if not the best team in the American League, year in and year out. And then in the postseason, they don't play like it. So I'm open to, like, right? Should we be open to taking on players and payroll and guys who could possibly be injured, and we know they're going to miss games, in the hopes that, hey, if I get them to the postseason, now I have a lineup that's different. I have an impact bat, multiple-time World Series MVP in the middle of the lineup. He might only play 60, 70 games. Can you take that risk? I think it's interesting. He could play shortstop this year. He can move to third base the year after that if they want to bring up Lombard. I think he's the kind of guy. Now, I don't expect it, and I think there's other options to do that. I'd probably rather just go pay Bo Bichette. He's younger. The money's not going to be as big. Although he's had his injury issues, it's not the same extent. And I can move him over to third base. He's bad defensively, but I can play 1 year at shortstop, move him over to third. Evan suggested the same thing for Bregman. I don't know if Bregman can play shortstop, but the problem is now that Trent Grisham has $22 million next to his name, is this owner willing to bump up the payroll to $340, $350? Because that's what it's going to take to do these things. That's what it's going to take. Are you going to sign the Japanese pitcher, Maya? Like, You can, to add to this rotation and really have a dominant rotation, but how much money does that cost? And where are you now that Trent Grisham, who I can't count on being the same player he was last year, is taking up $22 million and just bringing back him and Bellinger put the payroll right back in line to where it was last year, around $310 to $315 million, $315 million. And is the owner willing to add $20 to $30 million more than that? 888-808-1019. Let's get to Alex in Lakewood. What's up, Alex?
Quick question.
Yeah.
The Jets have five big holes. Two corners.
Five what?
Safety. Huge holes.
Holes. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that word. Five huge holes, okay.
After the quarterback, they're going to draft a quarterback with their number one pick. That's what I'm assuming, right?
I mean, maybe not with their number one pick, but it better be with a first-round pick, yes.
Yeah, so let's say they draft it with the number one overall pick.
Okay.
With the number, whatever, top five pick that they have, right?
Yep.
Then they have two corners they need, a safety they need, a defensive tackle, and a wide receiver. Which three of those are you drafting? Which two of those are you signing in free agency? Because if you draft a rookie, there's a chance you'll miss.
Well, I mean, I hate to tip you off, Alex. You sign in free agency, there's a chance you miss. There's always a chance you miss. Nothing's a lock. Nothing's a guarantee. In the first round, I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news or at least give you an opinion you probably aren't going to like. My answer is draft the best available player. In the first round. Now, they do have a lot of first-round picks. So you might be in a position to draft for need. Like, you have three first-round picks next year. Assuming you don't trade that to move up or, you know, you don't trade that for a veteran quarterback, which I suppose is a possibility. If you have three first-round picks next year, two first-round picks this year, is there a chance, I mean, in the first round that you can draft for need? If it works out. But I'm not a proponent necessarily of drafting for need in the first round unless, like, that's an extra caveat to a conversation where if I'm hung up on two players, which one do I need? Okay, then I'll go that way. But in the first round, I want to take the five best available players over the next 2 years that are in the draft because I understand what you're saying about holes. They have holes all over the place. They're a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 16 years. It's the longest drought in professional sports. Like, they could use a wide receiver. I mean, you feel good about the offensive line, but, like, say they're in a position next year where they're staring at the best offensive lineman on the board or something if it falls to them. Like, I'm open to anything for the Jets. But if your point of, you know, like, there are positions that typically draft with more success. And, you know, safety is a position that typically you wait for. You don't necessarily have to put a lot of, draft pick allocation into it. You know, unless someone's just a dominant player, you can get, you know, a shutdown corner is higher than a safety. A wide receiver is usually higher than a safety. You know, a pass rusher, an offensive lineman. Those are the positions. Quarterback, obviously. In today's NFL, for the most part, you want to either help. Find the quarterback, help the quarterback be successful, protect the quarterback, get after the other team's quarterback. Like, that's so you're talking shutdown corner, you're talking edge rusher, you're talking wide receiver, you're talking offensive lineman, you're talking quarterback. Like, those are the positions for the most part you look to draft at the top of the draft because you want to lock down those positions, have them under 5-year contracts, and go about trying to win without having to pay them and find impact players at those impact positions. And then, you know, the market for safeties, you can go find a safety who's pretty darn good for less of value because safeties don't get paid all that much for the most part. So, I mean, again, I'm giving you some answers around the idea of what you're asking, but for the most part, first round picks, I go board. I go best available, especially for a team. Like if you're the Bills, right? Or if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, or you're the Philadelphia Eagles, and you've built up this roster over many years, and you are right there, and you're a Super Bowl champion, and you expect to compete for the Super Bowl year in and year out, and now you're picking, you know, 29th to 30th and in the NFL draft, and you want to draft for need, by all means. You think you're a running back away. You think you are a D-tackle away. You think you are a safety away. You're a nickel corner away. You're whatever away. Then I'm open to drafting for that specific need. But for a team like the Jets that is perennially drafting in the top 10, if not the top 5, I'm looking for the best player available to impact my team at any position. And I don't think there is a position that they don't need. Like, I don't think there's one position. I feel pretty good about their young tackles on the offensive line. So barring just like a can't-miss, absolute stud, you know, left tackle, you're probably not going there, but you might go interior lineman. I don't know. I don't think there's a single position, Jets or Giants, really, that I wouldn't draft. You can't have too many edge rushers. I know that's a perceived strength of the Giants right now. If it works out where they have the, you know, fifth or sixth pick, they win some games here, and they have the fifth or sixth pick or something, and sitting there is the best edge rusher in the draft, and at that point in their minds, that's the best player available, I don't give a damn how many edge rushers they have. That's who I'm taking. And then maybe I'll move to Thibodeau, or maybe I'll, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe, you know, maybe half the fan base is right, and Carter becomes a bust. And now I'm replacing him. Like, there is no, I don't look at it that way with the NFL draft, especially not in the first round. But if you're going to ask me who I'd rather draft and who I'd rather play, I'd rather draft the premium positions and pay for the lesser positions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 452, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls for our final segment here as we do it rapid-fire style. Sometimes that means rapid-fire style, and sometimes it just means I take calls as I normally do. I throw it up there. It's up to you to figure out which one. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about when I mentioned about the baseball strike. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to fight over guaranteed, obviously, contracts.
Yeah.
They're going to fight over the cap. I think when I brought up about them under control, I don't know if it'll go down. That's going to be their thing. The PBA is going to say, look, if you're going to have a cap, man, we want to start making money a little bit earlier than 6 years. So
100%, but I don't think the PA is willing to do that. Like, I don't think they want a cap under any circumstance.
Right. So then, I mean, then you just think that it's going to be a disaster. It's just going to, you know,
I mean, it depends
on
how much the owners are going to fight for a cap. I don't know.
Yeah, but you could just see it coming. But as far as the football, is the dot cleared to play this week or no?
As of yet, no. It's trending in that direction. But I don't know how you feel. I think if he is cleared, he should play.
Absolutely, 100%. There's no doubt. I mean, you can't save the guy. I think they're working with him, like we talked about, as far as him taking care of himself. But mm-hmm. he's the only plus we're looking at that. And maybe the defense gets a little bit better. And Kafka's obviously looking to save his job. So, yeah, it's going to be another, like we say every year, another situation. But what do we do next year? Another if they do this, if they do that. So, but the only thing we really look at is Dot. So let's hope he can get in there and. And then you got the other guy with the Jets and Fields sitting down. Two disasters, one of the worst seasons ever, right?
I wish I could say that, Richie. I wish I could say one of the worst seasons ever. I don't know how it's any better than last year. At least they have Jackson Dart, the Giants. Last year, they fired Robert Saleh and completely went in the tank, the Jets. It was awful. They were terrible under Ulbrich, even worse. Like, it was just an absolute disaster. And the Giants, I mean, the again, the Giants were in a position to have the first overall pick and then won a game, like won one home game. They had 9 home games. They were 1-8 at home. Last year was just as bad, if not worse. This is an every year occurrence. I wish I could say, man, this is one of the worst years ever. It's not. It's the next year. This is what we do. This is what we've grown accustomed to. This is life as a New York football fan. I've spent a lot of time this week talking about how they've become one thing. Like, they're the same. They are one and the same. They have merged into one just absolute enormous disaster. It is just, they have merged. They share a building, and they share more than that. They share the distinction of being two of the worst franchises in the NFL, if not the two worst. I mean, Cleveland's right there with them. Like, they are as bad as it gets, and this is year in and year out. So I wish I felt like you, where this is one of the worst years ever. It's not. It's just one of the years. Because this is who they are. And yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised. I just got it now on Twitter. Jackson Dart can't play on Sunday. I think that's crazy. I don't know why anybody thinks he can't play. Again, I gave you Drake May. And someone said, oh, well, Drake May, you know, is listed as 2 inches taller and 15 pounds heavier. Oh, okay. So it's a, you know, so he's much, it's much different. He got a concussion too. I don't understand. That's another argument I can't say. Big difference. Drake May is like 2 inches taller and 15, 20 pounds heavier. Is his brain heavier? Do you know if his skull is any thicker? He had a concussion. Jackson Dart has a concussion. This isn't a shoulder thing, a knee thing, but this is a concussion injury. Last year, May had a concussion. Nobody said anything when he came back the next week. Earlier this year, Justin Fields had a concussion. Nobody said anything when he came back. Neighbors last year, concussion. Nobody said anything when he came back. I know Jackson Dart's the future. He still has to live in the present to make sure that future is what we want it to be. He's got a lot of football left this year. These are valuable snaps, valuable games. If he's cleared by the doctors, I'm not saying they should do anything dangerous or go against doctors' wishes or orders. I'm not even sure you can in the NFL anymore. But like, and rightfully so. But if he's healthy to play, if he's cleared by the doctors and goes through all the things he needs to go through, then he should play. I don't understand why you would want him not to play. It's funny to me. The same people who are calling me a dork and sending me tweet after tweet about what CM Punk had to say about Cam Scataboo and going to wrestling. I'm like, oh, so what should he do? Not drive in a car? She not walk down the street? You know how many people die walking down the street? Like, those same people who are killing me for Cam Scataboo on one leg, where his foot was detached from the rest of his leg, and he's out there standing on it in a boot, in a crowd of a scrum of his friends, pushing and getting pushed by wrestlers. It's like, oh my God, let the man live. But when I want a football player to play football, it's like, what are you, crazy? You got to bench him. You got to protect him. It makes no sense. We're living in the, what Eddie says, the upside down world. We're in the upside down world. Pushing wrestlers with a half a foot, that's cool. Playing football, that's the problem. Look at Drake May, concussion, played the game down, played the season out, and now he's in an MVP candidate, and they've won 9 games. Let's be the Patriots. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for calling. Thanks to the stream. Thanks to Fliegelman. We'll catch you Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.